I've always been fascinated by the story of Zacchaeus, who lived in Jericho. Jericho is a historic town. You remember when the Hebrews finished their wandering in the wilderness after 40 years and entered the Promised Land. In order to protect themselves as they made entrance, it was necessary to take the sound of Jericho, the town. And so they circled it for 7 times and blew the trumpet, and the walls fell down. I was there some years ago, and they're doing some excavating that's fascinating, because they're discovering that just as the Bible says, at about that time in history, Jericho was devastated and destroyed with its walls caving in. So it's rather interesting to know that. Now, if you've ever been to the Holy Land and visited Jericho, there are two things that your guide will do. First, in the little town square, he will have the bus driver drive around the square 7 times and blow the bus horn, and then complain because the walls didn't fall down. Actually, Jericho doesn't have any walls anymore. And then he will point out a tree that is at best 50 years old and swear to you that it's the tree Zacchaeus climbed in order to see Jesus. Verse 3 of our scripture for this morning contains an amazing amount of information about Zacchaeus. It reads, "And he sought to see who Jesus was." And there's a sense of compulsion, of urgency about that word sought. He sought to see who Jesus was, but could not on account of the crowd, because he was small of stature. Now, my sermon this morning has 4 points, and each of them begins with the letter H. The first H is for hunger. Zacchaeus had a hunger. He had a gnawing, desperate, spiritual hunger in his breast, in his life. Now, you can rest assured that the fame of Jesus had preceded him to Jericho. He had been ministering now for almost 3 years. The stories of his preachings and his teachings, his healings, his miracles had preceded him. And already there were stories floating about saying that this man Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. And if that was true, Zacchaeus had this desperate hunger in his heart, and he wanted to see God. That's what the Bible means when it says he sought to see who Jesus was. Why did Zacchaeus have a hunger? Well, for one thing, verse 3 says he couldn't see Jesus on account of the crowd. Do you have that problem? Does the crowd you run with keep you from really seeing Jesus? Are the people you're associating with the kind of people who would laugh at you or make fun of you or ridicule you for being a believer? Do they keep you from seeing him, from being who and what you ought to be and do? Well, I suspect most of us have times in our lives when we let our actions be determined by what other people think or by what other people will say. But not only did Zacchaeus have problems because of the people, the Bible also says he was short. He was small of stature. Well, it isn't too hard to draw a personality pattern of Zacchaeus. Any amateur psychologist can tell you that being too anything, too tall, too short, too fat, too thin, or being just too mediocre can do terrible things to one's personality. In an effort to prove himself, to compensate for being so short, Zacchaeus had worked hard to achieve, to compensate for being small. He had to achieve, to excel, to be a winner, to prove that even if he was short, he was as good as the next person. Do you have some deficiencies in your life that drive you? Do you have some inner needs that compel you to achieve, that motivate you to excel, that drive you to try to be the best? I know I have some needs like that. And until we recognize those needs, admit them, get them out in the open where they can be dealt with and seen for what they really are, from within. They will keep on driving us, keep on controlling us, compelling us, and making us sometimes do dreadful things we really don't want to do. Isn't that what happened to Zacchaeus? In his drive to succeed, to prove himself, he had sold out to the hated Romans and had become one of their tax collectors. But even that was not enough. His need to excel had driven him until he had become a chief tax collector. His needs had driven him right up the success ladder until he had become a part of top management for the hated Roman invaders. But let me tell you something. When we are driven by those inner unconscious needs, nothing ever really satisfies them. Nothing fulfills them. You see, the Bible goes on to tell us that Zacchaeus was a sinner. And what does that mean? Doesn't it mean that those inner needs, those inner compulsions, which he could never somehow satisfy, drove him to keep trying out there in the world, and he kept doing things, some that began to be dreadfully wrong, in order to meet those physical needs, and still, nothing happened? Has that ever happened to you? I suspect it has to most of us, at one time or another, that because of these inner needs that impel us and compel us, we do things that we are ashamed of. Isn't it interesting, though, that when his needs got intensive enough, when his inner hurt was deep enough, Zacchaeus didn't care anymore. He hurt so badly inside that what other people thought wasn't important any longer. In spite of what others might say or do, he climbed a tree, and that's pretty undignified. He climbed up a tree just in order to see if this really was someone of God. No, he had this desperate hunger in his heart. He wanted desperately to see Jesus. The second H is for happiness. You see, Zacchaeus made a marvelous discovery. He found out that Jesus wanted to see him as much as he wanted to see Jesus. And isn't that wonderful? Jesus is always hoping you will expose yourself to him so that you can see each other and begin to do business with one another. There's an old hymn I used to sing when I was a child going to church. It had a line that went this way: "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." The Bible says that when Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus had climbed the tree, he looked up. Isn't that marvelous? Our Lord is always looking for us to expose ourselves so we can communicate. Listen, whoever we are, whatever we are, Jesus is always searching for us. He's looking for you this morning. And because you are here, he's looking right at you. He's looking right into your heart, and he sees you. And do you remember what Jesus said to Zacchaeus? He said, "Zacchaeus, take me into your life. Make me a part of who and what you are." He said, "Make haste to come down. Hurry, Zacchaeus, for I must stay at your house today." Do you realize that that's exactly what Jesus wants to do in your life and mine? He wants to come home with us. He wants to be a part of our total life. He isn't content to meet us at church on Sunday morning. He isn't content to have an occasional relationship with us. He wants to stay where we stay, to live where we live, to do what we do, to be a part of our lives every day. And he wants to do it right now. Make haste, come down right now. A lot of us are putting Jesus off. But he wants to be intimately involved, to come home with us now. You remember what happened? The Bible says that Zacchaeus made haste, and he came down, and what did he do? It says he received him joyfully. Like a lot of us, Zacchaeus had been searching for his joy out there in the world. But worldly joy had not satisfied him any more than it satisfies you and me. We seek the things of the world, material things, financial security, all those things that we think will meet our need, and still there's a vacuum left in life. Worldly joy left him more hunger, hungrier than he had ever been before. Now he made haste to come down, and he received Jesus with joy. First Peter, in the little book in the Bible, speaks of that joy, and it says, "The joy unspeakable and full of glory." Well, let me tell you, you will never know true joy until you receive Jesus Christ into your life. Yes, Zacchaeus' long search was ended, for he had found the happiness he sought. He received him with joy. I assure you that Jesus is the only place any of us will ever find lasting joy and happiness. So first, hunger. Second, happiness. The third H stands for harvest. Do you know who got a harvest? It was God. You see, if we mean business with God, God is going to get a harvest in our lives. Isn't that true? When you get happiness in Jesus, there's going to be some evidence in your life, some spiritual response, some fruit in your life. Zacchaeus did two things. First, he got himself right with others. According to Roman law, if a man was caught in a theft, he had to restore what he had stolen fourfold. And in Jewish law also, according to Exodus chapter 22, verse 1, if a man stole a sheep or killed it or sold it, he had to give back four sheep for each one. So when Zacchaeus said he was giving back fourfold for everything he had taken by fraud, he was just getting legally square with others. Now let me ask you a question. Are you square with others? Have you made restitution for some of the things that you have stolen from others? And I don't mean necessarily money, of course. Have you stolen anybody's joy by unfair criticism? Have you stolen someone's reputation by gossip and malicious talk? Have you stolen someone's self-esteem by putting them down? Have you taken somebody's confidence by unloving, unthinking, unfeeling judgment and criticism? Have you had a little clique, a little group, and kept other people out and stolen from them the friendship and the love they needed? You know, we don't have to steal money to defraud people. Frequently, I counsel with a couple and the wife has stolen from the husband. She's defrauded him out of his self-esteem or his confidence. Sometimes I see a man who has stolen the confidence and the self-esteem of his children. There are many ways to cheat one another. Have you made fourfold restitution to people you've defrauded? But the second thing Zacchaeus did was to get right with God. He said, "Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor." Do you remember how Jesus talked about helping others? He said, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." And there is an interesting thing about getting right with God. The tense of the Greek word used when Zacchaeus said, "The half of my goods I give," the tense of that verb to give in the Greek means that he gives and he keeps on doing it. It becomes a pattern, a lifestyle change for him that he keeps doing. God's harvest in the life of Zacchaeus was something that kept on happening. Is that true in your life? When you had a hunger, and when you found the happiness, the lasting happiness, the eternal joy in Jesus Christ, is God still getting a harvest in your life? Are you still giving Him your very best? So first there was a hunger. Then came the happiness. Third came a harvest. And then the fourth thing that happened was a healing. Isn't that what the Bible says? It says, "Today has salvation come to this house." And the Greek word translated house means the whole household, everybody. When Zacchaeus got right with God, it impacted his entire family, his entire home, because as Jesus put it, salvation came to the whole family. I've seen that happen so often. I've seen a young person come to know Jesus as his personal Savior and go home and begin to impact his family, and sometimes the whole family comes to join the church and to be Christians. I've seen a mother who comes to know Jesus and begin to impact her family. I've seen a father come to know the Lord and begin to draw his whole family into the circle of God's love. And I want to say a word to you fathers and husbands. If salvation has not come to your entire family, it may be your fault. You see, God has established a spiritual order for the home. And whether you like it or not, God's order for the home is for the father to be the spiritual leader. And if you're not giving your home this kind of spiritual leadership, you may be hindering, you may be blocking your family from knowing the fullness of the blessings that God wants to give. You may be hindering your family from having all that God wants them to have. Think about Zacchaeus for a minute and who he was, a tax collector for the hated Romans. Think what that did to his family. Imagine his children going to the Hebrew school. How were they treated by the other children? Children can be so cruel. What about his wife? How did the other women in the community treat her? I suspect that there was a lot of hurt, a lot of wounds in the lives of the family of Zacchaeus. And that may be true in the lives of your family too. I suspect most of us have family members who are wounded by life, who have hurts that come to them through life. But when Zacchaeus got things straight with God, it began to bring healing to his entire family. Now you might try that in your life and see if it won't work for your family too. Lloyd C. Douglas, in an article entitled The Mirror, imagines a scene where Jesus is talking to Zacchaeus. And they're discussing how Zacchaeus became a Christian. And the dialogue goes like this. "Zacchaeus," said the carpenter, "what did you see that made you desire this peace?" And Zacchaeus replies, "Good master, I saw, mirrored in your eyes, the face of the Zacchaeus that I was meant to be." Are you what God meant for you to be? When you look into the eyes of Jesus, you will see mirrored there what He meant for you to be. If you will let Him come home with you, if you receive Him joyfully, He will help you to become what you were meant to be. Let us pray.